Good morning, folks. Able to hear me? Okay, cool. Welcome to the session. This session is about the investments that we have made in version next of Windows Server with regard to specifically the cloud data center operations. Right, there are a bunch of capabilities that we have added in Windows Server, and we just wanted to walk through those particular capabilities. I believe you must have attended the networking, next generation networking session by Rajiv and Bala yesterday. So that covered basically, the spiel around the software-defined networking, investments that we're doing in the software-defined networking. You must have heard something around the cloud fundamental investments, around the DNS kind of a services being made more cloud aware, and IP address management capability as well was discussed at that point time. And then, of course, on the network virtual functions. So that was another session which was, which was shared yesterday, right? So I'm going to go deeper into, with a fabric network management of a cloud data center, right? So we all know what are the different kind of, challenges or IT administration tasks that what we have there. So we basically try to cover some of these capabilities and how they work in against those operations. So session objective, just to be crisp, I'll be looking at covering best practices to plan, set up, and operate the fabric network of a cloud data center with software-defined networking. I mean, basically trying to give a perspective on how we achieve that, right? We basically go through some of the capabilities like discovery, the network monitoring capability that we have, and also around the network device configuration, basically the access and the aggregate switches configurations, right? And trying to give a holistic perspective of how the entire fabric network can be automated with these technology. And also we'll be covering some of the improvements or the enhancements that we have made in IP address management, which is again pertaining to the fabric network and in some sort. So let's just take a look at the typical IT administrator operations that we have, right? The usual use cases is around we need to have the IP addressing and, requires to be designed. And, the DNS naming also needs to be designed pretty much in line with the Active Directory namespace or pretty uniquely. And then there are operations around IP address assignments, allocations, tracking the utilizations, the complete lifecycle management of an IP address space, right? So that's one gamut of IT admin operations around IP, address space. And then we know there is fabric network configurations, which is about designing the VLANs, designing your route, figuring out like what needs to be, covered as part of, port channel or LACP kind of a configuration. So that's the physical, fabric network configuration. And the third pivot is around physical or virtual infrastructure management, which is basically about bootstrapping your host and the infrastructures, the services, the gateways, and other things. So that's the other aspect which, typically as part of the fabric network management gets covered. What's very interesting is around the data center monitoring, because you need to have a deeper insight about all this fabric network, get a perspective around whether this has been performant, whether it's been adequately placed, whether it's been functioning in a right manner, and what are the impact with any of the issues that one runs into. So those aspects is something which gets and part of the data center monitoring. And of course, then there are integrations with various different IT systems in your network, so which also needs to be covered as part of the overall use cases, right? So the way I've tried to show is the above is the IT admin operations, and the data plane is basically all your physical network devices, your virtual networks, your infrastructure, and the network and the security services and stuff. So this is a problem which we always knew, and we have worked, and we had a solution around around this in Windows Server 2012 R2. We were trying to address this with Windows Server IPAM, right, which basically tried to consolidate the complete IP addressing and core network services like your DNS and DHCP management. And then, of course, there was Virtual Machine Manager, with which we were covering around all the physical and virtual, may that be compute or the storage infrastructure-related management. And then we had SCOM, System Center Operation Manager, which was covering basically the monitoring, the element monitoring of all of these endpoints and the network in itself, right? So the enhancements in Windows Server System Center next release is like making the fabric network automation more holistic, right? Giving it all the network services that is there in the Windows and even the network devices that's there, like your switches and the, may that be the spine switches or the TOR switches, they need to be configured as part of the fabric network rollout. So that's something which we have attended, and I'll describe about how we have tried to address that, basically from the scope point of view, how it works perspective. That's something which I'll walk through a little later in the session. And then, of course, about monitoring requires a deeper insight about the network, its endpoints, how the network is rigged up, interconnected, and trying to get a health perspective of that, the stats and the counter perspective of that, right? So that's something also which we have addressed in the next release, which we'll get to see with few demos as well. And the last but not the least, about some centralized administration, which we have tried to accomplish with IPAM. IPAM already used to manage the DHCP server along with IP addressing services, but then IP address space, but then we have tried to also roll in the DNS management as part of the offering. Okay, so how does the solution overview look with the VNX release? So now you get to see clearly the IT admin operations, which I just described a while back. That is management plane, wherein you have all of these capabilities like IPAM, PowerShell, System Center, Virtual Machine Manager, Operation Manager, and of course the custom management apps. And the software-defined network controller comes into the control plane, which is basically trying to, consolidate everything about the network, have a single view about the network, both from setup and deployment as well as operations point of view, right? So this gives a clear perspective about the consolidation of all the network-related entities and how this needs to be really managed. It's something which we have tried to address with the software-defined network controller, right? And I won't be covering the overall software-defined network controller because there's a dedicated session for that tomorrow, but then what I'll be covering is few service modules of the network controller which is relevant for the fabric network space, right? So with that in the overview, I just want to get to the details around the, some of the niche capabilities. So basically, I have the next set of session, I have covered basically four areas, like the network discovery and topology, the fabric network automation, and I have covered the network monitoring, which is a new capability which provides a deep insight for network operations. And last but not the least is improvements in the IPAM as part of centralized network services configuration, right? And each of these four sessions, I would be covering with an overview, kind of how it works, and also with a small demo or a video, so to cover the complete capability. All right, so network discovery and topology. Just to give an overview, it's basically, we have classified the complete capability in three areas. One is about auto discovery of the network components itself, and of course even the compute and the storage endpoints and their interconnections, right? With the auto discovery, there's all the different network endpoints and the compute and storage endpoints, and the interconnections is something which we deduce out of the to prepare the topology object or the topology. That's again which is auto constructed. We use various different protocols for us to learn about the topology, how it has been rigged, and we spew out a topology object which has the complete information around the physical network, how it has been rigged up, and what is the virtual network that has been consuming the physical network aspect. The last capability is very interesting, validating the discovered network topology. So certain environments or deployment environments like converged infrastructure, for example, CPS, cloud platform system. I believe many of you must have heard the session from Vijay Tiwari. So that deployment requires a lot of validation, especially because it's prescriptive, right? It's prescriptive with certain best practices in place so that one can really consume that particular infrastructure for various different service hosting and application hosting and stuff. So it's very important to see that that particular infrastructure is rigged in a way it is designed for, right? And so the way this validate topology works is there's always a goal topology or a desired topology which is being fed into the system. And the discover topology, the discovery engine, discovers all the different network nodes and its interconnections. And that particular discover topology gets validated against this desired topology or the goal topology. And it gives you information with regard to the non-compliance or non-conformant kind of an issue so that, you know, admins can go and fix those anomalies and see to that that the discovered topology is always in line with the desired topology and seeing to that the infrastructure is, you know, really meeting the, you know, requirement. So just to get a little high-level insight on how it works. So basically, user provides a set of seed devices. Over here, it could be the aggregate switches, right, and credentials for that. And also, one can define the scope of this particular discovery, you know, in a form of providing some kind of a subnet information. And the discovery engine picks that, reaches to the seed device, and then the iteration goes to figure out, like, you know, other connected devices to that particular seed device. And we leverage various different protocols, SNMP, LLDP, and even some of the tables, like your MAC and ARP table, for us to deduce a lot more information about the network so that the topology is much more richer and adequate for some of the network operations that we look forward to support. It also, the discovery engine reaches to the Active Directory, right, to get all the host object kind of an information. And the host object information is further then, you know, probed to get a lot more information around the NIC and other properties so that the complete topology is stitched together, you know, through the discovery engine process and as well as the, you know, information that it has fetched from the Active Directory. That apart, one thing which is interesting here is since we are referring to the software-defined network controller to be the entity to have a, you know, network insight and to have all the configurations to the data plane to be driven through the controller. One important aspect what we have built into the topology object itself is that there are a lot of different configuration workflows of the software-defined networking which makes the configuration to the data plane. And in all those workflows, it is going to update even the topology object about all the different you know, changes and stuff. So that way, it's more centralized and more real-time. The discovery data would be more real-time than really, you know, going and discovering every time. And going and discovering every time is time-consuming and process-consuming. And that's the reason why we really wanted to have, you know, the topology object to be really current, because the network monitoring system or other cloud operations really require for the topology to be current. Okay, so this is just a, you know, perspective, you know, just to, we have built the functionality at this point of time as part of our, you know, vNext investment. Our manageability layers or the interfaces is still to be, you know, put in place. So the capability is available at this point in time. And REST interfaces and PowerShell interfaces is available at this point in time. So what we have done here is that, you know, we're just trying to see that particular, consume that REST APIs by some Visual Studio program and trying to, you know, deduce a topology. And this is just not about visualizing the topology. I'll just walk you through the demo wherein I would be able to give you details about each of this node, interconnections, and how this has been layered. All that can be better visualized and you know, better information about the topology can be viewed. Let me just quickly walk through the demo so that you get a better idea. All right, so what I have here is a machine which is the network controller, right? So I just open a browser here, and I've entered a URI, which is to get the discovered topology. So when I do just a simple query to retrieve networking V1 topologies, a discovered topology, this is going to give me a JSON object of you know, the topology itself. Let me just quickly save that so that I can render that in my Visual Studio program. So this is the JSON object which the controller has went and discovered the network, and it has, it's populated with, right? So this is a simple JSON object, and it has all the interconnections, nodes, and other information as part of it, right? Now let me just try to quickly convert this particular JSON object into something which an XML format so that my Visual Studio program can consume it. So I'm just going to do a get topology and run that. So this is going to convert the JSON object into an XML format. There you go. So that's the XML file. Now, the Visual Studio, we have a program which has been and a plugin which has been implemented to visualize the rack XML, right? So I'm going to just pick that XML file. It's going to take a moment to load. There you go. That's a rack object. I'm just going to expand the rack object. And that's going to load the overall network topology which has been discovered, right? At this point in time, this is a discovered set wherein it is discovering all the network switches, network gears, and the host from the Active Directory references. So I can, see all the interconnections and other information about this device. So if I click on the rack aggregate, it's going to give me information about the rack aggregate, the system OID through the SNMP, what it is trying to query, right? And it can also give the information about the ports that it has. So if I go and expand the rack aggregate, so it gives all the information about the aggregate ports, right? And I can also go and see some of the host information. I can see the host NIC information by expanding the host object. There you go. I get to see all the host NIC object. Now, the way to look at this is these are REST object. And this is going to be really, visualization of it is something which can be accomplished through any of the manageability UI that we come with, or it can be integrated into any of the existing manageability interfaces that you have. Right? It also gives information about the interconnection. So you can give you information about the network element and the precise port or an interface that it is connected to, a lot of different state state information about that particular port and other things. So this is a capability which is going to power the network monitoring capability in the software-defined network controller, right? Let me quickly move back to the slideware. Any specific question at this point in time before I move on to the next capability? Yeah.
So this is visualization, configuring the network or computing in real time and dynamically rerouting the API.
Yeah, so that's the question was that is this topology can be consumed for visualization as well as for configuring, right? And then once the configuration is updated, can the topology get be reloaded with that particular information and stuff? Come again?
Can you directly do it in real time with the API?
Yeah, so the way to look at it is that that's the manageability experience which we need to build. So if, say, for example, this is a capability where the discovery is in place, I'll show a capability wherein you can really go and configure these particular endpoints, right? Now, the manageability experience that we bring in as part of System Center or whatever it is, right? So there, that experience can provide a holistic way this topology is getting loaded and use that as a pivot point for you to start making the configuration and get updated. The topology gets updated with configuration and stuff. So it's definitely possible, but that's an experience which we need to build. So what I'm basically trying to cover in this session is about the capability that is there to power those kind of an experiences. Okay, so next is an interesting area on the fabric network automation. So as part of the cloud data center rollout and deployment, we always know that there is, other than the host objects, there's so much around the physical network that needs to be configured. And most of these configurations that is pertaining to the fabric or the physical network is in the network switches, right? Your access switches and the aggregate switches. And there are a lot of properties that needs to be configured. It could be like configuring your VLAN. It could be configuring your DHCP IP helpers so that the DHCP server is serving an IP address space to a specific subnets in the network. It could be link aggregations, the port channels that's required, BGP peering, BGP routing configuration which is required. So all of this is something which we try to address in this release, wherein we're trying to consolidate the network automation for the fabric network of any cloud data center, right? And the whole experience is around the desired state configuration capability, which is part of our data center abstraction layer, aspect of software-defined data center, vision, right? And so that's something which we have tried to, address as part of the fabric network automation. And I'll definitely walk through on how this is accomplished today and give you a perspective on the scope aspect of it. At a high level, the way we look at the fabric network automation is around we need to be able to design the network, wherein we basically, provide all the different VLAN, that declare it in a declarative manner, because software-defined network controller actually provides a very declarative way of, managing your network, right? It's not about a point configuration that you do. It's about declarative way of doing it. And that gives a better sense and control, leaving the intelligence to the software-defined network controller component to determine which is the right entity on which it needs to go and make the configuration. So that's the aspect wherein the designing the network becomes very critical and important, wherein one has to be having a mechanism wherein you can go and declare that these are the VLANs that I require for this intended reason, right? So there are different workflows that needs to be created in the manageability interface, which calls into the appropriate components or the modules or the REST interfaces of the network controller, right? And then comes the configuring the network itself. So that's basically a software-defined network controller's capability wherein it is going to call appropriate management protocol. It could be the OMI, it could be OVSDB or WMI or SNMP. Call any of those protocol and make those particular configuration changes onto those devices and stuff, right? And then we have granular controls that is required for deeper troubleshooting, because it's one is about setting up the entire infrastructure, another is about operating the infrastructure. And when you tend to operate the infrastructure, you need a lot more granular controls from the point of view of, various different, specific capabilities in the switch that needs to be reconfigured, or it needs to be, updated with the right appropriate value and stuff. So that troubleshooting experience, to have a very detailed and a granular troubleshooting experience, we need to have some large set of granular interfaces as well available. So that's something which we have tried to support as part of this, offering. All right, so just to determine the scope on the network device configuration, we have it basically, supported the OMI DSC class schema, right? So the basic idea is that, so long as our switch gears or switch vendors support the OMI DSC schema, we would be able to manage the complete switches in a very in a detailed aspect that is required for our cloud data center, right? It could be the Microsoft CPS, cloud platform system, or even it could be any of the multi-switched layer, cloud data center, right? We just need to have these switch gears to be OMI or DSC compliant and stuff. So how we so basically, if you look at the multi-switch layered data centers, there are the access switches and the aggregate switches, and there are various different properties of that particular switches which needs to be configured, right? So this is just gives you a sense of the coverage of the particular configuration that we support. So if you look at, there are basic device configuration, like about enabling or disabling some of the common properties, to Ethernet port configurations, like all the VLANs and IP address and LACP, LLDP kind of an information. We have port channel configuration, BGP configuration, and a bunch of other necessary configuration from the ACLing point of view, from the point of view of a route configurations and other things. So this, it's an extensive coverage of device configuration which we support this time around for all the OMI or DSE supported switches. Guess what? This is actually we are partnering with Dell, for S410 switches, the S4810, and the S55 series of switches to have it completely automated for the CPS. So it may not be available in the current version of the CPS, but then definitely something which we are looking forward to have it enabled in a future version of CPS, wherein the automation of the switches is just going to work on fly. Yes. Come again? Yes. So the question is that is the schema supported in the other by the other vendors and stuff? So the so we are working with the ecosystem partners to have this enabled on the other switches as well. So we know that the Cisco and Arista is already supporting OMI as part of a previous release. So we are having a discussion with them to have this also supported with the view class schema. With a lot more coverage and stuff. And that, apart from that, we're also working with various other switch partners, networking gear partners, to see to have this enabled as part of their product offering. Yeah? All righty. So just to give a perspective of how it works end-to-end, right? Again, in the context of a software-defined network controller with a management plane and the data plane, right? So as part of the CPS, there are a lot of automation scripts which require for bootstrapping the entire networking, the entire rack in itself. And we have these automation scripts enabled even for configuring those kind of switches. And these configurations can be so seamless because they're all PowerShell, and you could just have a script, whatever you have written today for managing your Microsoft devices or services, right? The same PowerShell kind of an experience can be leveraged to, automate even the network devices, right? So Dell, though right now they're supporting 410, S48, and S55 series of switches, there are discussion wherein they're going to support and have this enabled for a lot more different future series of, the switches as well. So that is going to, the Fabric network configuration scripts or the PowerShell is going to invoke the northbound interface of REST, right, or the REST interfaces. It's going to call the Fabric Network Management module interfaces. The southbound interface over here is the OMI or a DSE, right? And the configuration flows into the device in a form of a MOV file, right? And that's going to reside in the local configuration manager, LCM, which is a module of a DSE. And that's going to apply the configuration changes onto the, through the OMI provider onto the switch kernel. Now, what we really need to understand here is that the DSE's objective of having the configuration pretty declarative in nature so that there's better streamlined workflows to configure these particular devices, as well as trying to see to that the particular device's configuration is not running into drift, is accomplished with the DSE module sitting in the device itself, right? So the LCM is going to govern any of the configuration changes that's going to come into the particular switch, it's going to see to that that's in compliance with the required goal state and stuff. So it's going to see to that those particular configurations are really prevented with drifts. And hence, the whole idea is to enable the data center with good resilience. Okay, just to move to the demo. So I have covered the demo to basically show an interesting aspect wherein, I've taken a small, workflow wherein there's an intent to have a dynamic addresses assigned to the compute resources in a data center, right? And which requires certain configuration on the network devices as well as the DHCP server. So DHCP server obviously needs to be configured with a DHCP scope. so that that particular IP address is issued to these compute resources. And also, the network device needs to be configured with an IP helper, which is pointing to that particular DHCP server for a VLAN. And that's the crux of the demo, which I'll just try to showcase now. All righty. So let me just explain each of these windows. So what you get to see the window where I'm active at this point in time is a live Dell 410 S4810 switch, right? So this is an access switch. And I'm logging into this particular switch just to show some of the configurations in the switch. So here, let me just try to show the VLANs that has been configured on this particular switch. So this is one VLAN which is existing. So the DHCP server is actually connected to this particular VLAN, right? And let me show another VLAN where we expect the DHCP helper to be configured. There you go. At this point in time, you can see there's no DHCP helper configured on this particular VLAN interface, right? And as I mentioned to about the scenario, I'm going to show this is a client machine or a compute resource in the data center, which is supposed to get an IP address from a DHCP server, right? So I'm just quickly going to do an IP config all. So at this point in time, you'll notice that it does not have an IP address. What it has is just an IPA address 169.254 series of an address, right? Now this window is basically a small, partial script wherein we are trying to call into the MSFT network device VLAN view. So this is as part of the OMI DSE view class implementation, right? And you can see here the configuration is pretty straightforward. What I have is just I've added the DHCP helper and some information with regard to the element name and the description that is required. As simple as that. So let me quickly generate a morph file from this particular partial script. So this experience, what you're getting to see now is purely from the functionality point of view, just imagine this experience going to be littered from the manageability point of view. All this is going to be abstracted out, right? None of this is going to be visualized. It would be just click, right-click on a particular entity, have some properties configured, and then set it. There you go. I have the morph file created. Now, what I need to do is that I just need to have this particular morph file converted to ANSI form so that, it can be push to the particular switch. Now, this is a morph file from the partial script what we just saw, right? So I'm just going to save this file. As an ANSI file, right? There you go. I'm going to push this particular file onto the switch. Just going to take a couple of moments, and then you can get to see the DHCP helper configured on that particular VLAN interface. There you go. So I just did the show config of interface VLAN 301. The IP helper address is configured on this particular switch through OMI, right? Now let me quickly go back to this client. So in the background, what has happened here is that the DHCP server is configured with this particular DHCP scope. The switch is updated with this helper address, and the configuration is automated here. I'll quickly do a release and a renew. And let's see whether it has got the IP address. There you go. So it's got the IP address from a DHCP scope, and you know, absolutely things are automated with the interfaces that we are familiar with, the PowerShell interfaces and stuff. So that's the simplicity in which we would be able to have the network automated for a data center with OMI-enabled switches and stuff. So it's going to leverage the same experience, the partial experience what we have for the configuring the our network services, and the same technology can be leveraged even for configuring the devices and stuff. Any questions here? So next capability that I want to present is around the network monitoring and investment, where we basically are trying to add in the Windows Server itself a network monitoring capability, which basically provides various different insight about the network, more from an active network health perspective, right? It is not very much passive in nature, wherein it's not going to be based on events and other information, but then really trying to do certain live transactions and determine the network health. When we say network health, they are largely in terms of performance, loss, latency, which is far more critical and important when it comes to running any of these particular data centers, right? And the way we are trying to solve it from a from an overview point of view is we measure loss and latency within and across the fault domains. We determine fault domains, and we detect network outages in near real time, and we'll explain how is that possible, right? We determine which device or interface is causing a network degradation. And what is all the more important is the impact analysis, which is a perspective which we never get out of our monitoring capabilities. The whole idea here is, in case if anything has gone wrong in the physical network or the fabric network, you can clearly identify which is the virtual network or the tenants that is getting impacted due to that. That perspective can really enable to operate or to troubleshoot the network in a required SLA. And of course, we also provide a lot of different deep insight about some of the properties. It could be the endpoint property in a form of a stats and the counters and events or the SNMP traps. All this information is can be retrieved through REST APIs, and the SCOM today is going to consume this information to provide a very rich network monitoring kind of an experience as part of its product portfolio. So just to give a perspective here on the scope again. So again, we have the in a case of a multi-switched layer. Deployment. Our network monitoring capability basically work to measure a lot of the network health information from the loss and latency point of view using TCP pings, right? Through the inter-subnet, which is basically as part of the fault domain. So here you can see the fault domain that I marked is here as a subnet, right? So it does all the transactions within the the subnet itself. The fault domain is scoped. And thereby, it is able to get all the health information or the stats information from the loss and latency between the host, right, in a fault domain. And then it also does it across the intra-subnet, so which is basically it traverses through your aggregate switches and, through the border switches. So that information, that health aspect also is something which can be retrieved. And it also provides you an insight about subnet to internet. So all the traffic that goes from the subnet or the fault domains to the internet, even that can be monitored today. So just to give a brief overview of the capability, we basically use various different mechanisms for the L3 network, for the L2 network. L2 network is largely going to be in a probabilistic approach. We use various different methods there. But then we measure loss, latencies, performance over a period of time. And one thing what we have really tried to take a notice, most of these environments run into certain transient situations wherein there are some port which has got misconfigured, or it's a transient state. And thereby, if a network monitoring kind of a system is going to start throwing up alerts, there'll be a lot of fault noises, in the sense that they would be just alerts and in a very transient form, which would be probably getting rectified or remediated in an automatic manner. So just to hold that aspect and not really confuse the IT administrators with a lot of different fault alarms, what we have done is that we have tried to put together, have a lot of algorithm in place wherein this periodicity of this particular issue is also taken into consideration, wherein in case if this particular issue is recurring within a matter of a few seconds, say for example 100 seconds or something, then it's like understood that, hey, that's a consistent problem. And if it is not, only if it is a consistent problem, it's going to raise an alert. Otherwise, it is not. And it's programmable as well. One can go and have it configured to more appropriate depending on one's environment. So how does this work? Again, from the network controller point of view, we have the management plane, which is the system center operation manager. We have SDN controllers, two services which is leveraged for this particular capability, the network monitoring and the discovery and topology, right? And it leverages different protocol for in the southbound to get various different information, SNMP, WCF, WMI. And what you get to see down is the network performance and diagnostic services, NPDS. So these are something known as the canary VMs, if you could put it. In any of your fault domains, and it is going to start measuring, doing a lot of transaction and start measuring various different health aspect of the network, right? So this is the entity which is going to do a loss and latency kind of a check within a fault domain. It's also going to do transaction for intra-subnet or subnet to internet scenarios. So the network performance and diagnostic service is basically does the active detection of loss and latency. There's also device and interface statistics which has been retrieved from these particular devices, which is used for a precise network endpoint health information. And of course, there is tracking of a lot of different properties like your availability, BGP peering, and interface up or down kind of a state as well, right? So this is all about the physical network monitoring, which you see on the left side. And there's the virtual network monitoring also, wherein you're looking at entities like your vSwitches or the virtual networks to get a lot of stats and counters from that perspective as well. So that's the way we are going to have a very holistic monitoring of both the physical and virtual to get a health perspective of the infrastructure in itself. And what gets the impact assessment and analysis done, that's with the discovery and topology object. So the discovery object, the topology object has a clear perspective of what are the physical network and what are the virtual networks mounted on which physical network. That perspective is available in the topology object. That information is consumed to give an impact analysis, having any error as part of a port or a switch, or even about the network choke points that can be clearly articulated better from impact assessment perspective. So what I have is a short video here. So let me just try to showcase that. Yeah, so just to explain about the demo environment here, so what you get to see here is basically two subnets, right, which are the fault domains, And these are the Canary VMs or the network performance and diagnostic services which I mentioned. So this is running as VMs on some of the host in the fault domain. And you have the access switches, right, and the aggregate switches. What you get to see here is all the green path is about how the packet flow is from one fault domain to another fault domain is happening through the spine one, right? And this since all this network needs to be resilient and from path redundancy perspectives, so there is the other path which flows from spine two to that particular destination as well. So what we have tried to do here is that we are trying to, as part of this video, we are basically trying to disable the BJP route on a particular spine one, and seeing to that, but the direct traffic is moving from the subnet one, which is the fault domain one, to the other one through the spine two. And what it should really indicate to us is about the health, the problem at the spine one, from the stats point of view, right? And also it should give the loss and latency information from the network path perspective. So these are the things which we'll get to see as part of the demo. Let's quickly see that. So the second aspect about the impact assessment, that is something still in implementation. So the red bullet over there, so that's something which we're working on it still. But then we can definitely see the health aspect of it from the endpoints. All right. So this is, Canary VMs command prompt, wherein we are trying to see, we are trying to do a trace route to see that whether the traffic is going through the spine one, and which we get to see that. So here, the spine one is basically the 10.1.2.1. So let's quickly see. So the trace route is indicating the traffic to be flowing through the 10.1.2.1. There you go, right? So now we'll go to the spine one switch, and we're going to disable the BGP. We're just trying to simulate a scenario wherein we're not going to bring down the whole switch, but then probably the BGP is misconfigured or something. Currently, the BGP is active there, as you can see, and we're just going to shut down the BGP on that particular switch. So now, as per the multi-switch layering architecture, we expect the traffic to flow through the spine too. So, this information is something we'll see as part of the network controller's REST API. We'll query the objects to figure out like whether it is showing an appropriate value. So this is REST API query which we are trying to do, and for the spine one, we are still seeing a stale data wherein the network loss and latency is not updated. On a refresh, we can get to see that this spine one should show it as unexercised. So what this means is that the spine one is really not leveraged as part of the network traffic. We can also see the health of the device group, which is the fault domain itself, wherein you can get to see the properties on the loss and latency getting updated with the information about whether it has exceeded the expected threshold. So here you can, so once again, when we go to the spine one, the data, you can see that the data is still not updated on the network loss and latency. So this is the capability which I was trying to say. Though the issue has occurred, that the spine one, as I indicated, the spine one is down, it is still not alerted. The idea here is that it's going to wait for that specific period of time which we have configured. Say, it could be the 100 millisecond or whatever is configured, so that if it is consistent, only then it is going to start firing an alert. And we'll get to see that once it surpasses that particular time, we'll see an alert of saying this particular spine one is unexercised. So I just did a query on spine one. It's still not indicating that particular alert. So just after... Yeah, we are probing the spine one again. Yes, let's take a look at the subnet 10. Now this would have got updated. It's reset all the counters, the loss and latency counters. And now when we probe the spine one, we'll get to see it to be unexercised. There you go. So now the alert is indicated for this particular spine to be unexercised. So even that time factor of not being fault alert, that's something which we have handled as part of this offering as well. Moving to the session. So the next capabilities that we have invested in the centralized administration of network services. Right, so this is basically an enhancement to the existing VNX release of IPAM. So IPAM basically was handling all the planning and designing of the IP address space. It used to manage the complete IP address space of the physical and the virtual networks. And there was also the capabilities around DHCP management or an integrated DNS management that was available. But then those capabilities was very limited from a DNS point of view. DHCP, we had a extensive coverage, like the DHCP failover management and other aspects of it. And there were a lot of enterprise-grade and hoster-grade requirement around the granular role-based access control, which is something which we had enabled in 2012 R2. There was capabilities around audit and also extensive PowerShell interface, which was provided in 2012 R2. Customers also required, IPAM database, since it is a very growing database, needs to be managed better and even to handle from the scale point of view. So the SQL Server support for IPAM's backend also was enabled in 2012 R2. So what we have in the vNext version of an IPAM is basically consolidating the centralized network administration with having more of DNS management support. And this is pretty extensive DNS management support, wherein we support all the DNS resource record management. We provide the granular role-based access control support on the DNS resource record management. The DNS zone management is supported. What is all the more key is, customers were clearly articulating the requirement of an integrated DNS and IP addressing management, which is something which we have enabled in the vNext version as well. So just to give a perspective of the scope, so we connect the DNS data from various different DNS services on the network. It could be the resource records or the zones. We support the domain joined MS DNS servers, may that be the file-based or even the Active Directory integrated DNS servers. And all this information is something which we use for populating the IP address inventory of IPAM, because that is very critical when it comes to IP address management, and DNS is supposedly to be one of the important resources which has a good insight about the network's IP addresses, and which is critical for an IP address space utilization tracking or finding out an available IP address space and stuff. So that consolidation is something which we have enabled as part of this release. We have, as I mentioned, DNS management of resource records and zones. And to power it up, we have the granular role-based access control for integrated DNS management. What I'll just do is a quick walkthrough of some of these capabilities to get a deeper insight, on all the different aspects that has been built. Yeah. So this is an IPAM UI. So what we have done is the DNS zones view, which you might be familiar with. You know, we have against now each of the zones, you can get to see the resource records. And you can manage the complete DNS resource records that is there in your environment out of a single IPAM console. There are capabilities around multi-entity management wherein you can, you know, make multi-entity configurations of that. And then there are properties around granular role-based access control, which goes to a very detailed, you know, aspects. For example, let me just show you an a user profile which I'd created and the coverage of a DNS, you know, control here. You can see the DNS resource record management. We handle all the different resource record management, may that be the A, Quad A, PTR, NS record, or the CNAME records. You know, any of those, you know, supported records is something which can be managed out of IPAM. A granular, you know, role-based access control, and you can really have the control either associated to a user or a group of user, right? So this is an edit access policy wherein at this point in time, I have just enabled it for one user. He's a test user. I'll demo the scenario wherein how this can be consumed. And the access policy is for a specific access scope, which is also something which we have defined. So we can quickly take a look at how this works. From a DNS, you know, zone granular role-based access control point of view. And this is the other capability which I mentioned on the IP address inventory. Now, the entire IP address inventory is getting auto-populated with all the, you know, IP addresses that has been deduced out of the DNS resource records, right? And thereby, these IP addresses would get rolled under specific IP address ranges or the subnets and the blocks, and you can literally visualize the utilization of those particular IP address space as well and determine whether, you know, I can and leverage that for your IP address space lifecycle management, okay? So one interesting view that you can get to see is that when I select a specific IP address record, I can get to see all the DNS resource records that is associated with a particular IP address. So today, DNS system, you know, has records which is, you know, multiple resource records exist against an IP address record. And you never get a pivot wherein you can visualize that, you know, what are the different DNS resource records that is associated with an IP address record. And, you know, and there's always a challenge of scavenging these particular DNS resource records, because DNS system becomes heavier with all these records in it. And this is one view where user can really leverage, you know, to get a sense of, you know, what are the different DNS resource records against an IP address record and, you know, use it for managing. So let me quickly, you know, walk through a scenario to show the role-based access control. So, I'm just going to go to this pivot on London, and I'm just trying to look for the MX records. When I do an MX record, I get to see there are these access scopes which has been already configured, right? Let me just go ahead and configure one more, you know, resource record with this particular access scope. There you go. And now I'm going to log out of this particular IPAM server and log in as a test admin to see how this role-based access control works. So it launched the server manager. console as a test admin. So I'm going to go to the IPAM console. Go to the DNS zones. So you can get to know whether this is logged in as a test admin or not through this particular space. So here you can say connected as contest or test, right? So go to the DNS zones and quickly exercise the mail exchange server admin's operations. So let's quickly try that. So here, I have a privilege to just modify only the mail exchange record. So I can probably change its priority. So let me change its priority to 4. Yeah. So that works. Now, if me being a test admin, if I'm trying to do a perform a similar kind of an operation or another MX record on which I do not have a permission, it's going to state that the logged in user doesn't have privilege to perform this action. So this way, admins can leverage the granular role-based access control to manage even each specific resource records, especially if those resource records are pertaining relevant to some of the applications and stuff. So that completes the demo on IPAM, just to showcase the centralized network services administration support. And the other improvements that we have done is in IPAM is around the IP address management enhancements. We basically have improved the lifecycle management of an IP address space with find IPAM free subnet, with find free IPAM free range out of an IP subnet and stuff. So these are critical for an IP address lifecycle management. And that's something which we have enabled also as part of the vNext. There are a bunch of other investments that we are currently working on, something which we will be publishing soon as well, through blogs and other mechanisms. So that's what I had as part of the session. The other important sessions that which I would really request you to attend to understand the overall networking investment, some of which you would have attended yesterday itself. The first one you would have attended yesterday, the next generation networking, which was presented by Rajiv and Bala. And then the other session was on virtual network functions, which was presented by Abhishek yesterday. There's another session on software-defined networking, which only a certain capability of it is what you have seen today, which was relevant only from the fabric network management point of view. But the other capability is something to understand it holistically. I would really request you to attend those sessions to get a better insight of it. Thank you. So any information or questions? Yeah.
Just a question about which DNS servers can be managed, only Microsoft DNS servers or some other DNS servers?
Yes. At this point in time, we are supporting in the product Microsoft DNS and DHCP servers. They could be the file-based or Active Directory integrated. But then we had enabled a capability wherein so long as the third-party DNS servers are supporting the OMI provider or the SIM provider of Microsoft DNS and DHCP, a common provider, not really Microsoft DNS and DHCP, then we would be able to manage it. So that's a capability which we had just enabled for evaluation or an ecosystem point of view in the previous release, something which we'll pursue further for managing other DNS and DHCP servers as well. Right. I guess the question was about, there are other DNS servers which needs to be managed as part of the overall load balancing and other capability and stuff. I totally understand. So that's something which we definitely have it in our roadmap. We'll try to support the third-party DNS management as well. Yeah.
Can you manage multi-forests or only one? Or?
that's a capability which we are currently high in the priority list to enable the multi-forest support for the DNS and DHCP. And I would be able to affirm on it only after we have completed a planning on it. Yes. Yes.
Is there a similar history to the DNS objects as with IP objects? So you can go back in history and see who has owned what IP, for example, in the event logs or something?
Oh, yes. So IPAM has an extensive audit capability wherein you can literally, and that goes, as you rightly mentioned, it goes way back and whatever has been changed on this particular IP address record or a DNS resource record. That's something which can be retrieved out of IPAM. So that's a capability which I didn't showcase because it's still not available, but then we're currently implementing it.
Thank you.
Yeah, sure.
Network monitoring, are you going to take advantage of NetFlow or S-flows, which may be available on some switches to get more inside information about traffic or bottlenecks in the network?
So just to repeat the question, I guess the question was around some of the devices already have some NetFlow and S-flow kind of technologies in place to provide an insight about the traffic. Are we leveraging that for a network monitoring capability, right? So not at this point in time, but then that's, we understand that the traffic monitoring is very important, wherein we literally need to have an insight on what are the different traffic that's going through the switches and stuff. So we definitely have it in our plan to support it, not in this release, though. Yeah. I would like to discuss with you to get more insight on what is the kind of a capability that you are looking for from the flow metrics perspective. Any questions? All righty. Thanks a lot.